Okay, so we're going to have a shiur about Mashiv HaRuach V'Morid HaGashem. And a very interesting sugya, which we one time talked about this in the past. We didn't have a full shiur on it, so I figured it's kedai, it's worthwhile to have a whole shiur. So we know the halacha is, in the beginning of Maseches Tainis, the Mishnah says, Me'im Masai Mazkirin Gevuros Gishamim, when do we begin to mention the power of rain, which is referring to Mashiv HaRuach V'Morid HaGashem. There's two things that we do in davening pertaining to rain. We praise Hashem, that's Mashiv HaRuach V'Morid HaGashem. Hashem makes the wind blow and the rain come down. And we ask Hashem for rain. V'sein talu matar livracha pneu adama. Hashem should give tal, dew, and matar rain. Right now in America and beyond, we're only saying Mashiv HaRuach. Right? We didn't start saying V'sein talu matar. We're not going to start saying V'sein talu matar until December. In Eretz Yisrael, they actually already started saying it. So, bottom line, huh? Yes, no, I think they start before that.
December 4th.
And we say December 4th.
I understand that.
In Eretz Yisrael, they started saying, I think, a week after Sukkot. I think it's a week after. I don't know, I think, whatever. Now, the equinox has to do with Chutz La'aretz. And Eretz Yisrael, they start saying, interesting enough, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, at a time period, hopefully I'll be again this year, at a time period when we didn't start saying the same Talmud Matar yet. But in Israel, they already started saying the same Talmud Matar. What do you do? So, that you should, when you get to Shema Kolenu, you should say the same Talmud Matar Livracha Livnei Eretz Yisrael. God should give rain for the member residents of Eretz Yisrael. Because the law is, if you forget the same Talmud Matar, you can do it in Shema Kolenu. So like this, you're kind of covered all your bases and you're going to be okay. So bottom line is like this, that if a person forgets Mashiv HaRuach V'Morid HaGashem, it's a problem, right? He's got to say Shmo Nesrei over. So the Gemara speaks about this in Maseches, the Gemara speaks about this in Maseches Tainis at length. However, where this whole thing starts really is with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi writes the following statement. The Yerushalmi says in Maseches Tainis as well, Tani, Nispal of Enyo Dea Mahizkir. What happens if you finish one Esther and you're not sure if you said Mashiv HaRuach? You don't know. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Kol Shloshim Yom, for the first 30 days, Chazaka Mashu Lamud Hizkar. You probably mentioned what you're used to doing, which in this case would be you didn't say Mashiv HaRuach. You haven't said it for a long time, a whole summer. However, Bikan Va'elech Masha Tzorech Yaskir. However, going forward after 30 days, you can assume carefully and rightfully, that you probably said Mashiv HaRuach because that's your new habit. So this Yerushalmi is a well-known Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that till you change your habit, you go to your default. What's your default? Not saying Mashiv HaRuach. Once 30 days have passed, we can safely assume you hit your default. And since you hit your default, the halacha is you said it 90 times or whatever many times you said it. The halacha is we assume that you said it, and therefore you don't have to repeat Shmon Esrei and be nervous that you didn't say Mashiv HaRuach Umarit HaGashem. The Torah brings this down. The Torah brings this machlokas, this particular concept, this idea down, and then he brings a very interesting machlokas between the Maharam Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz. You see, the Maharam Rutenberg had a custom that on Shmini Atzeres he would sit down right after davening and he would say the following. He would say, "Mechaye meisim ata rav lehoshia mashiv haruach umorid hagashem," 90 times. And he assumed that after he did that 90 times, he was in the house because he changed his default and now this is his norm. The Yerushalmi doesn't write that. The Yerushalmi says that you have to wait 30 days. But says, Maharam Ben Rutenberg, why wait 30 days? Do it right away. Do it 90 times. He would sit down, he would say, Mashiv HaRuach V'Morid HaGashem, Mechaye Meisim Ata Rav L'Hoshia Mashiv HaRuach V'Morid HaGashem, 90 times, and he was good to go. In case he wasn't sure, he knew he could rely upon changing his habit by doing that 90 times. That's Maharam Rutenberg's Eitza. That's his chap. That's how he comes up with it. However, the Torah brings Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the Rishon. Rabbeinu Peretz says, it doesn't work. Saying 90 times in 1 minute doesn't change anything. It's time that has the impact.
Right? 30 days.
30 days pass. You said Mashiv HaRuach. For the 30 days, then you could safely assume. This is machlokas between Maharam Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz. Now, Maharam Rutenberg brings a proof to his opinion. You see, the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Kama, there's something called Ashar Muad and Ashar Tam. Before, when animals don't normally gore things, bulls don't gore things. It's not the norm. So if an animal, a bull, gores something, say gores another cow, the halacha is the owner only has to pay chatzi nezek, 50% of the damages. Because he didn't have to anticipate that it was going to gore. It's with cows all the time.
gets two times, right?
Once it gores three times, we pass it three times. Once it gores three times, then it changes its status from a tam to a muad. A muad means something that is, its norm is to gore. It's a repeat offender. Okay. Now, the Mishnah in Maseches Baba Kama talks about when does this have to happen. So it gores three times. One each day? Or how about if it gores three times in one day? Does it also become a tam? Gemara says like this. If they were spread apart, let's say there was one today, one tomorrow, one the next day, we still say it's considered a muad, and it's, you're going to have to pay the full amount because we assume it's considered a gore already. Is it not that much more so that if the animal gores three times, one after another, it's certainly a muad? It's certainly considered a tendency to gore? Because like this, if you could say, if it gores today, it has nothing to do with goring yesterday. It gores tomorrow, it has nothing to do with goring 2 days ago. Yet still we say that they does, we are connected to one another. Says the Gemara, Kal v'chomer, how much more so if it gores one time after the next, where it still has the memory, if you want to call that. And it gores, it's certainly considered a muad, it's certainly considered a gore, and therefore you're going to be chai. Yeah.
I would think, just like why Weimar Rav Gutenberg is not right, and why three times in one day, even, you have to give an opportunity for it not to go. In other words, if you tell me it happens three times in one day, it could go on a rampage and gore three times. But he has to have an opportunity to pass it up. In other words,
You're saying good.
Yeah, so Rami Rutenberg, to say it, you need time to pass, not because it becomes usual on your lips. It becomes usual when you have time to forget, when you have loss of das, that's when it takes hold. That's when you change your habit.
Good, you're saying good. So, Rami Rutenberg, let's just finish with the Rami Rutenberg proof, and then we'll say Rabbeinu Peretz, because Rabbeinu Peretz argues with Rami Rutenberg. Rami Rutenberg holds that this is a good proof. It's the same thing. If over 30 days we say that after 30 days you change your habit by saying Mashiv Ruach for 30 days, Richeik Mashiv Ruach, you distance them from one another. We say that if you're a Muad, you're considered someone who has a tendency to say Mashiv Ruach. So Kirab Nigichosa Lokal Shein, is it certainly more that if you said them all together, it's certainly going to change? You have Mashiv Ruach, Mashiv Ruach, Mashiv Ruach, Mashiv Ruach, for sure that's going to change. Therefore, Rami Rutenberg says, you see explicitly in the Gemara that it's okay. Therefore, sit down and Shemini Atzeres, say Mashi Baruach 90 times. Actually, say Mechai, Mesa Mata, Rav Loshia, Mashi Baruach. So you have the first part also, not just random Mashi Baruach. And you're good to go in case you make a mistake, or in case you're not sure. But Rabbeinu Peretz argues. And Rabbeinu Peretz says that you can't bring any proof whatsoever from Richeik Negichosav, from the distance of the goring to the closeness of the goring. He says, what does one thing have to do with the other? They're not related to one another whatsoever. He says, if you think about it for a moment, what's the whole point of the Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama? Excuse me. There, the point is that we assume it's the tendency of the animal is to gore. And now you have to be more responsible and take better care of it, put it under a stricter lock and key, a ball and a chain, to make sure that it doesn't gore. Period of time, we say it's established to be considered a gore. That certainly, if it gores one after the other. But here says Rabbeinu Peretz, this has to do with developing habits. Habits develop over time. Habits don't develop in a moment. You can't change yourself in a moment. Even if you do something really intense, it's like a guy who's like, you know what, I have to lose weight, and he does an hour workout. Masha Enke, a guy who does 10 minutes a day for the next 10 days, right? Which one of those is more likely to continue working out? The guy who does 10 minutes a day for 10 days because he's changing his habit. He's putting it into his schedule. So says Rabbeinu Peretz, what are you saying? Just because you see in the Gemara that for some reason the tendency of goring is like that, doesn't do with changing habits. It's not about changing habits. But here that's still changing habits. You can't change a habit in saying something 90 times.
That's more of an innate nature also. I don't like the shore of the person anyway. That's an innate nature of animals. People are
different than animals. So I just want to I want to explain something very interesting. So Rav Shimonshkop said, and I think it's Rav Shimonshkop and the Stipler, they say a very interesting shaila in Baba Kama that has very practical ramifications to this machlokas from Rami Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz. See, there's a big shaila and a big discussion, or two ways of understanding muad. Why is it that when an animal gores three times, it all of a sudden changes its status? and it's no longer considered a town where you only pay 50% of the damage. It becomes a mu'ud and you're responsible to pay for the whole thing. Is it what you call a simen, or is it a siba? What's a simen and what's a siba? So a siba is a cause. Do we say that if an animal gores three times, that increases its likelihood, the act of goring three times develops a taste in it for goring, and therefore now it's going to gore more? Do we say that? So it's a cause. A siba means a cause, right? Siba, za siba, it's the cause. Or do we say it's a simen? The goring the three times didn't do anything to change the animal. We know now that this is a gore. This is that Elsie is no longer a well-behaved cow. No more Buttercup, right? What is she? Elsie the Terror. I don't know what you want to call her, you know. Yeah, right. Del Taco. Or Scotch Cup, not Buttercup anymore, you know. So it's just a simen. It shows us that something in her changed. Something in the bull changed that he has no problem doing things which are not the norm. That's the Shaila about a mu'ad. Do we say a mu'ad, goring three times, causes the animal to gore more? Or it just shows us, it's an indicator, it's a simen, that the animal is a gore. Now, if you learn that it's a cause, then you could hear that there's a connection between these two Gemaras. If an animal gores three times, that causes it to gore a fourth time. Then you could say, oh, that's by Mashav HaRuach too. If you say it a bunch of times, it causes you to continue that. That's how Marami Rittenberg learned. He learned that every time an animal gores three times, that causes the animal to gore again. So Mamela, there you could see that there's maybe some kind of connection between Mashi Baruch. You said Mashi Baruch, that causes you to say it again. But Rabbeinu Peretz is like, I don't know what you're saying, Marami Rittenberg. The point of Mu'ad is just, it shows us that the Mu'ad now has changed its tendencies. That's not going to do cut anything for us by Mashiv HaRuach. By Mashiv HaRuach, we need you to change yourself. The fact that you said it a bunch of times doesn't show us anything. It's not a simen, it has to be a siva. Therefore, it's apples and oranges. You can't compare these two sivvies together. That's the Machlokas, Marami Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz. And it happens to be Rav Shimonshkov asks a very strong question on the Marami Rutenberg. Because the Gemara says, a very interesting case, what happens if I borrow your ox? And while the ox is in my jurisdiction, the borrower, it gores three times. Now it's a mu'ad. And I give it back to the owner. Do I bear any responsibility now if this animal goes and gores another time? Yeah. So the Gemara says no. It's very difficult to understand. The Gemara says no. No. When it was by you, you have to watch it. Now it's by him, he has to watch it. Asks Rav Shimonshkov, I don't get it. If you say that if an animal gores three times, it's just a simen, it's just an indicator that the animal's a gorer, okay, it has nothing to do with you. The animal turned into a gorer. All right, bring it back to the owner. Now he's got to take care of it. It's his animal. Elsie the gorer. But if you say that it's a siba, that goring three times causes it to gore again, shouldn't the borrower, have some responsibility for letting this animal turn into something that's going to gore another time? Shouldn't there be some type of liability for this? So says Rav Shimon, if you learn like Marami Rutenberg, that if an animal gores three times, that causes it to gore more. Well, the Shoah was the one that let this happen under his watch. So he, for some reason, should still be a part of this equation, but the Gemara says he's not. Sometimes the Gemara says he is. That means the Shoah does sometimes bear responsibility for the animal becoming a mu'ad. But in this case, he doesn't.
There are times when
Yeah, I'll read you the Gemara. I don't think he's inciting. No, he's just went in the court. He's not inciting. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Shalo bechezkas tam. If you borrow it and assume it's a tam, a non-gorer, a tame ox, v'nimtza mu'ad, and then you find out that it's a gorer, what happens in that case? Ba'ali misham chatzi nezek v'shol chatzi nezek. Then the owner pays half, and the borrower pays half. So you borrow an animal from a fellow, and you don't know that it's a mu'ad, and it goes and it gores under your watch, each of you pays 50%. So says the Gemara. Hua bebeis shoah v'chzira lebailim. Let's say it became a mu'ad in the house of the shoah and he gave it back to the owner. Ba'alu misham chatzi nezek v'hashoah patur miklum. The owner pays half, because he didn't turn it into a mu'ad, and the shoah doesn't pay anything. and the shul doesn't pay anything. So there's no liability to the shul. Now, why not? If he's the one that caused the sin to happen, there's some type of liability. That's the question of Shimon asks.
The same time when he borrowed that, the animal, usually when it's in the hand of somebody else, and it gets wild.
I hear.
And it could be.
It's not used to where it usually is. It's like when you go out of town, you let someone else take care of your dog, you know? So comes back an attack dog.
When the demented patient goes to the hospital.
Okay, they get worse. 100 much worse. True. What do you want to say, Phil?
No, I just once he returns it, and it's in the ownership of the owner. I mean, I don't understand why the other guy would be responsible.
Because bottom line is, he didn't turn it into a muad. You did.
The borrower
turned it into a muad.
If you hold by that manda amar.
Right, that's what we're saying. If you learn that these three times cause it to become to gore again, then the shul should have some responsibility. Under his jurisdiction, that caused the animal
to turn
into a muad.
Maybe they should split it like that.
Maybe they should split it like the previous case. But if you say it's just a siman, that something changed in this animal, it's not. He didn't do anything. But it's just indicating to us, could be the animal was even a muad when you gave it over.
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
Could be it was a muad when you gave it over. It hadn't gored yet, but now we know it gores. So you can't hold the guy responsible. You know what's interesting? I don't know why I'm saying this, but you know, we learn about a comma, we think to ourselves, like, when does this ever have to do with anything? But the truth is, imagine cars, self-driving cars, that have learned intelligence. Right? We know that, right? They've learned intelligence. A lot of computers have programs that learn. Yaakov, yes? Is that true? No, maybe? You could train a computer to learn. I mean, I think that's how the self-driving car is.
That's
artificial intelligence. Is. So you wonder, like, if it learns destructive behavior, what? Is that considered a muad?
Rabbi, it's evident that you never saw 2001 A Space Odyssey.
No, I never saw
it. And HAL 2000. HAL 2000? What is it, Marsh?
I know it was HAL.
It is in the 1960s, they had... That was the premise of the movie.
Daryl. Anyways, bottom line is...
He killed all the people.
Okay, so bottom line is, I don't know, you have to figure out if this has anything to do with learned negative patterns in a computer. Who's going to be responsible? The programmer, the owner, the lease, I don't know how it works. But maybe this could have practical ramifications. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Now, it seems from this Yerushalmi, not like the Ma'arav Meirutenberg, for a few reasons. First of all, why did the Yerushalmi say 30 days? Why did the Yerushalmi say, once you said it 90 times? Or better yet, why didn't the Yerushalmi give us the Eitzah, the advice? Say it 90 times and everything will be good. That's question number one.
Actually, it's more than 90 times.
Oh, question number two. How many times do you say Ma'ashi Baruch in 30 days? 105 times. Musaf. You're probably going to have a Rosh Chodesh in there too, like we did today. Rosh Chodesh. And you can have Musaf on Shabbos, so you can have more Ma'ashi Baruch. So why is... What's the point of why 90? Where does 90 come from? So must be that 30 days is a mind change. It's not the amount of times only. It's how you say it. It's 105. Or let's look at a different halacha here. This also works by the same Talmud Matar. We didn't switch yet, but we're going to switch with Shem in December. And according to the Ma'arav Meirutenberg, what you should do is Baruch Alein Hashem Lekim Hashanah says Kol Neisu Asal Tova. Ves Kol Neisu Asal Tova B'Sein Talmud Matar V'Racha Pnei Adama. Say that 90 times. Now, it would seem from the Yerushalmi as well that works, right? If you do it 30 days, it works. How many times did you
don't say
this?
How many times
did you say the same Talmud Matar? You did not say it 90 times. Because you don't say it on any Shabbos. So you're less than 90. Yet the Yerushalmi still says 30 days. Obviously, the Yerushalmi feels that 30 days is the amount of time it takes a person to change from one habit to the other. Not exactly like this Ma'arav Meirutenberg at all. As a matter of fact, the Chassam Sofer says that a person has to say, I'm wrong, 100, you say it 101 times. A person has to say 101 times Ma'ashev Aruch. Because that's the amount of Ma'ashev Aruchs that there are in 30 days. And the Chassam Sofer in his classic way says, the Gemara says, Eino Dome, you can't compare Misha Shana Pirko, somebody that learned something, Mea Pamin, 100 times, Lemea Ve'achat, to 101. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'll show you where this has a practical application. You said Ma'ashev Aruch 100 times, and you're not sure if you did it the 101st time, you got to say it over. But you do it 101 times, that changes your mindset. That's how the Chassid, he says that Gemara alludes to something similar to this.
Was Ma'arav Meirutenberg actually, he was holding this halacha ma'aseh?
Yeah, he did it.
No. I know he did it 90 times. But did he hold, he held it afterward? Or was he doing it So he wouldn't make it. You hear what I'm saying? Was he holding it like the practically a halacha l'maisa?
Yeah,
or was he just doing it
to train himself?
To train us, because he didn't want to screw up.
He didn't want to make mistakes.
So yes, he was passing it a halacha l'maisa. Now, I want to tell you something. I tried this. I didn't do it this year for some reason. I'm going to do it now once we get to the Zuya. I've tried this in the past. It really helps. Saying it 90 times really helps. As a matter of fact, when I was in Yerushalayim, one of the hakafos on Simchas Torah, they dance around the Aron Kodesh and they sing Mechal 90 times.
That's awesome.
They do it 90 times. That's one of the hakafos.
They picked up a minhag.
That's the minhag. That's the minhag. Yerushalmi shuls. Yes, from the Maharame Rutenberg. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I remember the song. My mom should remember the song. And it just goes and it goes and it goes. And then some guy's like, kind of like, no, we got 55, we stopped, 35 left. No. Let us go. And I'm assuming that they probably sell that hakafa for more because Mashi Faruach, God makes the spirituality of Umori Dagosham. He brings down materialism. That's a play on the words Mashi Faruach. I'm sure someone came up with that skula. The same person that invented that the sixth hakafa, if you leave the sixth hakafa, it's a skula be wealthy because they say, Ozer Dalim, Hashem helps those that are poor. Probably has a source to it. But there's a guy, I was in a shul in Brooklyn one time, and they were selling psicha, opening the Aron Kodesh for Tal. Not for Geshem, for Tal. You know, on Pesach we say Tal, a prayer for dew. And they sold it for like $2,500. I asked the guy, I said, that's a lot of money. He goes, listen, I'm an investor. I have all kinds of diversified investments. I invest in real estate, and I invest in commodities, and I invest in this and that. This is an investment to me. $2,500 is not that much money. Hashem kicks back, and it's like, you know what, this is a skula that works. It was a worthy investment. And if for some reason I don't feel that it happens, not all my investments are successful. I still gave tzedakah. That's what he said. Which I thought was a very interesting way of looking at things. Okay. The Ramah. Oh, so I want to quote here another Gemara. I want to bring another Gemara here. Okay, so this is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara Maseches Tainus. Because the Gemara Maseches Tainus also plays the goring game in a different perspective. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainus, the Mishnah there says, "Ir sheyesh ba devar ma'polas." If there's a plague in a city, an outbreak of some type of plague in a city, osa ir misana. They fast umasras. They blow shofar, etc., etc. Ezahu devar. What constitutes a plague? How many people? Ir hamotzia chamesh meos ragli. If a city has 500 people, population 500, the yatzu mimena shlosha yamim, shlosha mesim, and three people die from the same illness. B'shlosha yavim ze'achar ze'ah, 3 days, one after the next. Harei ze'dever. That's considered a plague. Pachos mikan, less than that, ain ze'dever. That's not considered a plague. So Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you have to have three people dying from this particular illness in 3 days in a row. That constitutes a plague, and we start fasting and blowing shofar and doing all the things we have to do in a time of need.
Even it's million people?
No, it says 500. It seems like three people out of 500 population. So Gemara says like this. Ir, a city that has 500 people, the yatsu mimena shlosha mesim biyom echad. Three people died from one plague illness in one day, not 3 days. Gaza Rav Nachum bar Chista Tanisa. Rav Nachum bar Chista was the rabbi there. He decreed a fasting. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Nachum bar Yitzha, says the Gemara, Am Rav Nachum bar Yitzha, Nachum says, come on. Who does he hold like? Rameir. The Amar Richek Nigichos of Chayev, Kiv Nigichos of Lokal Shekin. Who's this? Who holds this opinion? You know, we saw in Baba Kama that if an animal gores over 3 days, it's considered a mu'ad. And for sure, if it gores over 1 day, it's considered a mu'ad. Well, same thing over here. If three people dying in three separate days is considered a plague, well, then how much more so if three people die in 1 day from this particular plague? That's considered a plague. So says the Gemara. Now look at the Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch paskins, Shlosha meisim b'shlosha yamim harei zedever. If three people die in 3 days, that's considered a plague. Yatsu b'yom echad, let's say they all die in 1 day, ein zedever. That's not considered a plague. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when it comes to like a plague, we don't say this kirev richek nigi chosav, closer, further, etc., etc. Says the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So we see that we don't apply that concept or that idea to other applications. like a plague. Well, then you shouldn't apply it to this either, says the Vilna Gaon. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon said, don't do like the Maharam Meirutenberg. It has to be over an extended period of time. That's how you develop Mashiv HaRuach muscle. But if you do it 90 times in one day, says the Vilna Gaon, you probably shouldn't do that. Now, the Mishnah Brura paskins lahalacha that you could rely on this Maharam Meirutenberg. You could rely on it. And if a person said Mashiv HaRuach 90 times, and he's not sure if he said Mashiv HaRuach, he does not have to say over Shmon Esrei. You could rely upon this, the Mishnah Berurah says. How thrilled he is a different discussion. He does bring the Chasam Sofer that maybe you should really say it 101 times. Then you definitely, so the Hakafah just got a little bit longer, right?
A little more expensive.
I got a little bit more, a bigger skula. But at the same time, the Mishnah Berurah does seem come across that you should do. The Vilna Gaon, however, says it's better not to do it. And actually, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in his Sefer, Halacha Shlomo says that you should not rely on this L'chadchila. I agree with Josh, though, that you should do it. It's just going to help you be more Mashiv HaRuach in tune.
But they would say, if you forgot, you still have to repeat it.
Yeah, but the Mishnah Berurah paskins that you don't have to, and you could definitely rely on the Mishnah Berurah. Yesh amal ismach, you can rely on this Mishnah Berurah. But there are some twists to this case. Number one, twist number one. How about if a guy, Rachman Litzlan, is an Avel, he's in the year of mourning, and he's davening two Shmon Esreis every tefillah. Or I should say Shachris and Mincha. So he's saying Mashiv HaRuach an extra time. That's 20 days in, he's done. Halacha, Nathala.
What do you mean he's not on this
here? An Avel, Davin's Shmon Esrei, and Chazar is a Shach, the repetition. So he says Mashiv HaRuach an extra time. Does he have to have the full 30 days? Or 20 days in, he's done? Halacha, they say L'chayr, the Mishnah Berurah rings it down. You can rely on 20 days. You rely on the 20 days. Or here's another shaila. How about a woman? So a woman's chayv to daven shachris and mincha. She's obligated, but she's not obligated to daven marav. So let's say she follows the basic halach, which is she daven shachris and mincha, and not marav. Does that work? Does that work? Or you have to have three tefillos every day. Or, just to throw a little monkey wrench into this, what happens if one of the days you make a mistake? So you daven a Shmon Esrei without Mashiv HaRuach. And then you daven Rosh Hashanah with a Mashiv HaRuach. Did you break your streak? Or Rachman Otsan? Or a guy's delivering a baby and he misses a tefillah? Okay, now you, the other guy, the competition. And he doesn't daven a marav. And he misses a tefillah. Period. Just misses a whole tefillah. Does that still work? It does. Rosh Hashanah still works. You don't lose it by not davening a tefillah. You don't have to do
the maybe that's why the 30, because it's the average,
The Mishnah Berurah.
That's maybe the basis for the 90.
Right, so the Mishnah Berurah.
6 months of 30.
Right, the Mishnah Berurah actually says that the reason it's possible to say the reason that Yerushalmi says 30 days and it doesn't say less is because that's normal. Most people daven at least 90 tefillos over 30 days.
90 days.
90. Over 30 days. So actually, that's what the Mishnah Berurah brings down. And then finally, there's Ashayla, could you also use this by Hamelach HaKadosh? Right, that's a big one. A lot of people mess up Hamelach HaKadosh. Instead of saying HaKadosh, so the Mishnah Berurah says, you can't do that.
What do you mean? It's only 10 days.
I know, so then say it 90 times.
If
that changes a person's hergel, that changes a person's habit, so say it 90 times. You can't do it. Why? Because you can't just say the word Hamelach HaKadosh. What do you have to say? Baruch atah Hashem. You can't say Hashem. That doesn't change you. You would have to say Baruch atah Ado Hamelach Hakadosh. You have to do that. You have to do that, and you can't do that. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Sorry, that doesn't work at all."
In other words, it sounds like he would be willing to rely on it.
In theory, if he says it works by Mashiv HaRuach, why shouldn't it work by this?
He holds by the Maharam Rotenberg.
The Mishnah Berurah says you can rely on the Maharam Rotenberg.
What about Mikamoch and the other stuff?
Yeah, maybe there you could.
But there you don't.
But those you have to repeat Shmon Esrei. It's just a Melech HaKadosh. That's it.
The other one too, I thought.
Melech
HaMish. You don't have to repeat Shmon Esrei.
But that has a bracha anyhow on it too.
Yeah, that wouldn't work anyways. But yeah. So I just want to add like two things to this. You know, they say Rishon Shvadron used to say, Rishon Shvadron was a great magid in Yerushalayim. He was a fiery speaker, brilliant, funny, could make you laugh and cry within 2 minutes. I remember him when I was a kid. He used to come to Tel Zeshiva and spend some time there. It was amazing. So Shon Shadron always says over that, you know, one time he was walking in the Shuk of Yerushalayim, you know, the Shuk of Machane Yehuda, and he's buying all his pre-Shabbos purchases, and all of a sudden a guy punches him in the chest.
Ooh.
It's like, dude. He didn't say dude. And before he has a chance to recover, boom, another punch in the chest. all of a sudden he realizes, Ki mochel v'soleach ata baruch ata Hashem chanun amar belis loach. He was having his trip, planning his whole trip to Machane Yehuda during Shemot Esrei, and he gets up to Slach Lanu Ki chatanu. He punched himself.
But he restored.
He says this over.
No, no, you lose yourself
in Shemot Esrei. He was in Shemot Esrei, and he was planning out his whole trip. I'm going to go to this guy to buy the potatoes, and this guy to buy the fish.
He didn't even realize he stopped.
And he says, if Rishon Feinrod is saying that, who was such a gadol, well then, what does it say for us humble people? We clearly struggle with having kavanah in Shemot Esrei. So in a perfect world, you shouldn't have to say Shemot Esrei 90 times, Mashiv Ruach 90 times. But who is the one that said it? The great Maharam Meir Rutenberg, right? One of our greatest poskim in the last 1,000 years. Yet this is what he used to do every Shmini Atzeres, so he shouldn't make a mistake. Not just make a mistake. He shouldn't be sure after, in case he's not sure after Shemot Esrei, maybe he missed Mashiv Ruach. So on one hand, it doesn't give us an excuse to not have Kavanah by Shemot Esrei. But on the other hand, if you finish a Shemot Esrei and you're not so sure, you have good company. Right? Because the tendency of human beings is that we're distracted. And when we're distracted, we always go to our default. We always go to our default. So many years ago, at the Kushner Open House, I taught a class. You know, they have different teachers teaching. I was one of the guys that was zocha to teach. So I did a 15-minute presentation on this machlokas, Maharam Meir Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz. And I said, comes out of this Maharam Meir Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz, a very interesting psychological machlokas. Does time change habits, or does task change habits? If you do the same task 90 times, you do it quickly, does that change your habit or not? And at that
point, the argument tells you that you repeat it to do that, you do it better.
By where is it?
All the time, the same kind of
repetition.
You do it better.
So I don't have it. I didn't look up the head slides that I showed a PowerPoint of, but I found research in both ways. Some people say that if you want to get rid of it, you want to change something, you can't just do it over and over and over and over and over and over and you'll get it. There's no time. Others say it's got to be over time. Interestingly enough, how long does psychologists say it takes to change a real habit? Huh?
What?
So there's conflicting research. Some say 40 days, which in Judaism is a number of transition always. Mm-hmm. I did a little video before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. From Rosh Chodesh Elul to after Yom Kippur is 40 days. That's when we're supposed to change our habits. Some say 21 days. I think that's like the big, like, you know, they have apps that are like 21 days to help you change this, to help you change that. I don't know. Who cares what the world says? I can make something up anytime I want to say it. But according to the Yerushalmi, which is I care about, Yerushalmi says 30 days. If you want to change a habit, you got to do it 30 days. And you have to do it multiple times. It doesn't once a day. So you have to do it at least 30 days. But if you mess up a day, you're okay. Because that's what the Yerushalmi passed in Malacha. If you miss a day, you're still going to be fine. Regas, Rabbi said, let's try to have kavanah by Mashiv Ruach Amar Hagashem, at least in the beginning of Shemot Esrei. Lose yourself, I don't know, later on, Vala Malshina or something. But at the beginning of Shemot Esrei, let's at least try to have kavanah. Mitzvah Hashem, we do that, we'll upgrade our tefillos, and with the shalos will all be theoretical, they won't be practical. Thank you so much for listening. It's a pleasure to be back in the shiurim.